We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we tend to cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, or we kind of try to cut through all of the propaganda on this show. And today we're going to talk about Europe preparing for war. They absolutely are. Many, many stages of this preparation are underway. This all comes now as Russia accuses Ukraine of basically sabotaging these peace talks. But wait until you see the preparatory videos that the EU is releasing to get all of their citizens ready for, I guess, nuclear war. We're going to dive into that today on the show.
Plus, we're going to talk about the climate change narrative. It seems to be dead. Remember when The Guardian said our new policy is, instead of climate change, climate crisis? Instead of global warming, global heating? That turned out to be a whole load of bollocks. And now they're going to have to walk that back. And they're pretending as if they never went down this route of alarmism. And we're not going to have it here on this show. We're going to call them out for trying to pull back on their utter crap.
We're also going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant, why newly released CIA documents that have been unearthed from 1988 are reigniting the quest for the Ark. Yes, I know it's unbelievable. It sounds like something out of Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it is. Using remote viewing to actually find the target where this thing is actually hidden in the Middle East. I know it's crazy. I can't wait to talk about this. We'll talk about this a little bit later in the show. Thank you guys for joining us and subscribing. We've got a very busy show to get to today. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world in the chat rooms. We're streaming on Rumble, Twitch, YouTube, and X.
Before we do that, I would like to respond to something. Now, Mike Benz was on the show recently. He's a State Department whistleblower. He shared our show on X, and the comments have been amazing, and I'm super thrilled to have had him on. But one person said, "Don't go on that show. They have a BS agenda." And so I asked that person on X, "What is our agenda?" Here's what he said, is that I'm rude to my husband. Now, that is not my agenda.
It's not an agenda.
That might be true at times, and I apologize. We are a married couple, and we're co-workers, so that creates a lot of angst at times. I love Clayton very much. We've been married for 14 years. But if that's the only agenda that you can surmise from our coverage, I think we're doing all right, don't you?
That's your agenda?
I want to
personally thank this viewer for uncovering this agenda. I'm really thrilled to get to the bottom of it on the show. Thank you so much.
No longer a conspiracy theory. It's just I like the idea of like when the camera's off, we all just start immediately abusing Clayton. Like, "Damn it, Clayton, that was no good." How could they have
just... No, well, that's what they said is our agenda. I said the both of us have an agenda to be rude to the husband. Yeah. So, I mean, I try to be a loving wife. I really do. But you get authenticity here of a long, many years married couple.
That's right. That's my Latina wife for you. Fiery. All right. Yes.
But loving.
So thank you guys for being here on this Thursday. We're going to get a lot of news. We got a lot of great guests on the show today that we're going to get to here in just a moment. We're going to talk about Europe going to war. But first, you know, maybe the reason why silver has now spiked to a 13-year high today. Gold now hit a new all-time high today. Gold now over $3,000 an ounce. We've been telling you about investing in silver and gold. back when gold was like $1,700 an ounce. That's when we started investing in gold. Now it's over $3,000 an ounce. Like, what more evidence do you need that government currencies are collapsing? All indicators economically are that we are heading for a crap storm right now in the United States economy. The Biden administration has handed us a giant crap sandwich that we are about to see in the U.S. dollar, perhaps a housing collapse as well. All of this is on the horizon. Peter St. Ange just did a great video about it today. You can read his and his economic update on this. But we're big proponents of investing in precious metals, and our friends over at Lear Capital are supporters of our show. And you can call them today just to start maybe taking some of your U.S. dollars and converting it to gold and silver so that it's a protection. It's really just a wealth mechanism, a wealth preservation mechanism in your home. You know, it's great that it goes up in value. I'm thrilled about that. But to me, it's, you know, it's like every fiat currency in world history has collapsed. All of them. Why would the U.S. dollar be any different? $36 trillion in debt is the United States government right now. So to me, it's just a wealth preservation mechanism. Call them today. Have a conversation with them. They're an American company. You can have, actually have gold coins, silver coins shipped right to your home. You can store them in your gun safe or stored in an offsite secure vault and facility, which you can do as well. Call them 1-800-613-3557 or go to LearRedacted.com and you can ask them how you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. So our thanks to Lear for supporting our show.
All right. Well, European leaders are working themselves into a frenzy to prepare an entire continent for war. They held yet another Ukraine summit. They've been doing this furiously since Trump basically spanked Zelensky out of the Oval Office. This is the fourth one. NATO leader Mark Rutte said that there was no matter what the U.S. does, there is no way that the entire continent of Europe will ever be ready to normalize relations with Russia for decades, he says. Watch.
Well, there will be no normalization of relations with Russia when the war is over. That will not happen. That will take decades because there is a total lack of confidence. The threat is still there. As I said in my speech, even if the war comes to a conclusion, the Russian threat is still there. They are building a war economy. They are spending so much money on defense. They are producing in 3 months an ammunition what the whole of the alliance is producing in a year. We are ramping up our ammunition production. Luckily, we have to. So there's no way that we can normalize relations with Russia after the war is over. You hope in many decades from now and post-Putin that there might be some, but I mean, I'm not optimistic.
So that is some dystopic stuff.
Who exactly voted for this? Again, these are unelected globalists as the head of NATO, the head of the EU Commission. Who exactly voted for the European Union right now to be marshaling us off to war and to telling us that we can't talk to Russia? We can't have normalized relationship with Russia because you want war. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the bottom line here. You want war. Therefore, we cannot have normalized relations with Russia. Russia doesn't care about you formerly in the Netherlands. Russia doesn't care about you, Germany. Oh, by the way, Russia had a pipeline flowing with natural gas into Germany mm-hmm. with relationships that allowed them to get cheap gas until the United States blew it up, until NATO and the United States got together and decided to blow up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So what sort of normalized relationship are we talking about here?
Well, funny you should mention that about him being unelected, because the vote that the people of the Netherlands did get around him as prime minister, remember, he faced a no confidence vote and resigned before they could vote him out. And remember this? He promised that he would quit politics when he left office in the Netherlands. No, that actually was a lie. Instead, he failed up to head NATO to lead us into war. And what he's saying there is, no matter what, we have to build weaponry like crazy, right? Like ants, we have to build weaponry because we never want to have peace with Russia. Now, Ursula von der Leyen, she took to the camera after this fourth Ukrainian meeting to have this whole coalition of the willing plan. And the plan is basically peace through war. Watch.
We had a very good meeting of the coalition of the willing. The coalition of the willing has gotten bigger, stronger, and very determined.
Very determined, she says. She also has never been elected by an electorate. She was only installed by the Bundestag. She says that she wants Europe fully ready for war by 2030. So no matter what the heck European people want, doesn't matter. She's saying that these leaders that you didn't elect want it. So you're having it. France is so willing to drag their citizens into war that they have now this prep document for armed conflict. This was a leaked plan, a 20-page booklet that included 63 measures to help the French in case of an armed conflict as well as natural disasters. I mean, it does have some things like have a flashlight, have some water, but then it also has some information on, quote, how to join local defense units. What the hell? How to join local reservist units and firefighting groups. Again, this hasn't been approved, but it shows you where the government's head is. Go ahead, Clayton.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, is this like a preparedness plan, or is this like inviting every European to be a conscript, basically?
That was my thought. Yes, because they obviously have low enrollment numbers when it comes to their military. All of them do.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, okay, but, you know, it's like Beauty and the Beast, like Kill the Beast level. Like, okay, well, then we're all going to just pick up our pitchforks and go to war because we can't conscript you. So here's some prep documents. The EU is also launching a survival series of, I don't know exactly what this is. It looks like comedy, but it's real. This woman, her title is the European Commissioner for Equality, Preparedness, and Crisis Management. I'm not sure what kind of title that is. Like, since DEI is dead, now we put equality with crisis prevention. Like, shouldn't we all be equally ready for, prepared for a crisis? I don't get it. She says that this new preparedness strategy is rolling out under our motto, hashtag preparedness. And this is how Europe prepares its citizens for crisis, this Wild West piano jangle joke thing. Watch.
It's Ajal Habib. Welcome to What's in My Bag, Survival Edition. First up, my glasses. Super important if you want to see what is happening or not.
Oh my God.
Next, my document in a waterproof pouch. A must in a rainy Brussels. Now, let's talk about lighting. I have a flashlight. If you don't forget the matches and, of course, the light. Turn. And water, of course, because water is life. And my special friend.
I learned that for the first time today, water is life.
A Swiss Army knife. 18 tools in only one knife. A must.
Wait, aren't those banned?
Yeah, right.
And don't forget your medication. You might need it, because you never know. And don't forget something to eat. You might be hungry, very hungry. And of course, some cash.
Okay, so you get the idea of this. God. You can watch it on X. I also retweeted it.
I mean,
what the hell?
Yeah, it reminds me of that New York City video from a few years ago where New York City released the, hey, here's how to prepare in case of a nuclear attack in New York City. Like, don't stand near the window. Monitor social media in case of a nuclear attack. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, laughing about what happens in case Europe descends into war.
I really don't understand it. I don't understand the tone and, like, we're just going to get you ready kind of thing. It's okay because we're trying to sell you a war. So while we do that, we'll try to pretend that we want you to be ready with a flashlight and a can of tuna. That's not going to help if they actually do provoke nuclear war with Russia or try and drag you into an armed conflict.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Rome didn't collapse because of an external invasion. People like to say that it was the Visigoths, you know, it was the external. No, it was marginalizing your own people, not listening to your own people. It was massive militarization and moving towards war. Like, you're watching Europe collapse in the same way that Rome collapsed right now.
And while they do this, here's the kick in the pants, you guys. While they do this, the European Commission is telling people that European approval for the EU is at an all-time high. This is hilarious. They released this survey showing 74% of people surveyed in the Eurobarometer believe that their country benefits from EU membership. Now, they don't release a lot of the parameters of research methods, but they do say that they surveyed 26,000 people. 26,000 people across 27 countries is less than 1,000 people per country. Malta alone has 500,000 people. So that's too few to even represent Malta. So out of 450 million Europeans, they sampled 0.0058. And they say that people love them, that we know for a fact from this barometer, people love Europe, the people of Europe. This is utter propaganda.
Well, I spoke to a member of European Parliament, Christine Anderson, just yesterday about this, about the collapse of Europe and why they're so hell-bent on taking us to war. Here's just a little piece of her commentary about Europe going to war. Watch. Why does Europe seem hell-bent on trying to go to war directly with Russia?
That is a question I truly don't have an answer to. It's beyond me. But the war rhetoric that they're using right now, it's mind-boggling. And it just goes to show they're completely unhinged at this point. So they're talking about a coalition of the willing, right? Well, how about we talk about a coalition of the capable? Because that's right. The issue here, you know? So, I mean, you know, hearing Keir Starmer contemplating, you know, putting boots on the ground and planes in the air, what planes is he talking about? And I mean, as far as Germany is concerned, what boots is he even talking about, right? So what Europe has been doing for the past decades is pretty much completely neglect our ability to defend ourselves. Not only have they neglected that completely, anyone, you know, joining the army, whether it was in a setting where it was mandatory, so you had to serve like a specific amount of time, or it was a voluntary joining of the army. I mean, these young men, you know, had been stigmatized as murderers or whatever. They were frowned upon, right? So and who in their right mind would want to contribute to the capability of defending your country if you're being stigmatized for even thinking about it? And not only that, especially in Germany, I mean, we've been told for decades now we really ought to hate ourselves because of our past, which is absolutely despicable. You know, I'm referring now to the Nazi era in Germany. Right. And we should never forget that. And we should definitely live up to our promise to never again and fight the beginnings. However, if you are teaching young children, you know, you are not allowed to be proud of your country. You not only not that, you have to hate it. Why would anyone want to defend something you were taught to hate?
It's a great question, isn't it? More of that interview. I did a deep dive interview with Christine Anderson. She's a legend. That will be published here on the channel tomorrow. Europe eating itself right now.
All right. Well, climate change is going to fade from view like the overpopulation did. That was the headline from journalist Michael Schellenberger and political scientist Roger Pielke. So say goodbye to climate change. It's out of style. Like the ozone layer narrative, right? The problem is that they're going to pretend that they never sold us alarmism, and I'm not going to let them, because I swallowed that crap for a while until I read books, until I decided that no more mainstream media was going to feed me this crap. Now, 2 days ago, I typed climate change into Google because I was searching for images for the newsletter. And this is what it returned to me, climate variability. And I was floored because Google is pretending that it always viewed climate change as a naturally occurring phenomenon, which it is. But that's a lie. Google promoted the climate crisis. They partnered with the United Nations to pervert search results with alarmist information. And the United Nations Global Communication Director admitted this and explained it this way, this horrific, dystopic way in 2022. Watch.
You know, we partnered with Google, for example. If you Google climate change, you will, at the top of your search, you will get all kinds of UN resources. We started this partnership when we were shocked to see that when we'd Googled climate change, we were getting incredibly distorted information right at the top. So we're becoming much more proactive. You know, we own the science and we think that the world you know, should know it, and the platforms themselves also do. But again, it's a huge, huge challenge that I think all sectors of society need to be very active in.
We own the science, yeah.
Yeah, that pissed me off in 2022, and even more so in 2025. Again, they were manipulating Google's search results. In 2019, media outlets unilaterally started to use language like this. Remember when The Guardian updated its style guide to recommend terms such as climate crisis instead of climate change, or global heating instead of global warming to scare people? They had no science to do that. They just said, based on how we feel about the environment, we're going to do this so people take it more seriously. And it scared people, particularly children and young people. Now they are accepting the climate variability truth, which is the Earth's atmosphere goes through natural cycles of warming and cooling. And no one has ever been able to prove definitively that there is human responsibility for it. And in fact, just this month, a new paper in the journal Science of Climate Change disproved the human-led global warming theory. It debunked it. The paper used AI models to reveal that human CO2 emissions, constituting a mere 4% of the annual carbon cycle, are dwarfed by natural fluxes. So what we're responsible for is 4%. That's what they made us all crazy for, 4%. And they said that it's our fault as humans. The paper asserts that the IPCC, which is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, uses faulty models to predict climate outcomes and humans' roles in them. That's something we've been saying for a long time. The IPCC models are flawed and faulty and not reliable, and scientists do not agree on them. Now, I put this paper into Grok yesterday, and Grok said, ooh, this paper makes bold claims. And I pushed back, and I said, many scientists have pointed this out. One of them being veteran climate scientist Judith Curry, who wrote this book. And Grok said, oh yeah, it's actually not that bold to say that. Scientists have been saying this for a long time. So Grok and I worked it out. We had a little argument about what is bold. It's actually not bold to say that the IPCC models are unreliable, that humans have not definitively caused climate scientists. And Grok apologized. So we're all good now. Who has not apologized is the media. The sad part about this narrative shift is how many people were made anxious and sad. They called it climate anxiety. The young people have it across the board. You had to read books and turn away from mainstream media to know the truth. We should never forgive them, and I don't. So watch for this narrative shift and give them all a collective middle finger is what I say, but you let me know what you think.
All right, coming up here on the show, John Kiriakou is going to be joining us to talk about these ICE deportations. What is actually happening with Guantanamo Bay right now? Because many of us for years were slamming like the Bush administration and Dick Cheney and all those warmongers for what they were doing down at Guantanamo Bay. And John Kiriakou, of course, blew the whistle on that. We're going to talk to him in just a moment about what's happening down there with these ICE deportations in just a moment. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Shopify, because they sponsor the Redacted podcast and show, and we are so grateful for them. So grateful, in fact, we use Shopify for the Redacted store. Now, Shopify is a great place to start to grow your business, launch yourself to the world for whatever idea you've got. Anywhere from, I don't know, I just have an idea. That's the Redacted store you're looking at right now. That we are able to run on the Shopify's platform to, yeah, I'm going to launch this store to the world. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to support myself with my idea. They will help you with customer support, with design, with all the back-end knowledge and all the back-end infrastructure you need. So head on over to shopify.com/redacted. Sign up for a one-month trial period today. Again, that's shopify.com/redacted, and you'll get $1 per month trial period. That's what it is, at shopify.com/redacted, all lowercase. And again, we're not just Shopify sponsored, we're Shopify users as well. You can find that for yourself at redactedstore.com and see how well we use it, and then get inspired to use it for yourself. Shopify.com/redacted.
Well, what are we being sold about these ICE deportations? It would certainly seem that we're being promised only to deport, you know, these violent criminals that have raped, you know, raped kids across the United States, and they're being shipped off by the Trump administration. And I think we would all, you know, rally around that idea that they're going to be shipped out of here, send them back to Venezuela or wherever they're coming from. We see the violence that's happening right now, specifically in Chicago. So, yes, get them out of here. But then you have videos like this emerging of this Turkish woman being arrested while on a legal student visa and being arrested because, well, allegedly just because she supports Palestine. What's going on here? Watch this video. So they come here and round her up. They're all wearing face masks.
None of them are in uniform.
People, they're yelling from the window, like, hey, who are you people? Like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you putting on face masks and hiding yourself? I guess for security reasons. I don't know. And then we had this yesterday with Kristi Noem, U.S. Homeland Security Secretary, standing there. Watch this. Yeah, just watch this. Here she is in front of all of these tattooed.
I want to thank El Salvador and their president for their partnership with the United States of America to bring our terrorists here and to incarcerate them and have consequences for the violence that they have perpetuated in our communities. I also want everybody to know, if you come to our country illegally, this is one of the consequences you could face. First of all, do not come to our country illegally.
So is that just playing to Trump's base? Hey, look, we've got a bunch of bad guys in prison behind me. Like, these are the visuals we're putting out here. What's really going on here with due process? Joining us now is John Kiriakou. He was a whistleblower about Gitmo. And recently on Redacted, he had said that there's no way we should revive the Gitmo policies. So he's obviously the first one we wanted to talk to about this. CIA whistleblower John Kiriakou joins us now. John, good to see you. First, let me get your thoughts on when you see Kristi Noem there standing in front of all of these tattooed prisoners for this photo op. What did you make of that?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be back. And what you're asking really is a set of very important questions. Like you, like most Americans, I'm thrilled that dangerous criminals are off the street, right? If you are a criminal, and I don't mean just the act of crossing the border, although that is a criminal act. If you are perpetrating acts of violence in the United States, we don't want you in this country. And so, you know, great for President Trump for throwing them out and incarcerating them in, as it is right now, in this super prison in El Salvador. What Kristi Noem did was just really a play to the base, having all those shirtless deportees behind her showing their gang tattoos that so many of them have. That's perfectly fine. I have no problem with it. But the act of essentially kidnapping PhD students or graduate students, people who are here on green cards or on legitimate education visas, because you don't like their views on the Palestine issue, or because in this case of the Turkish PhD student, she wrote an op-ed in support of Palestinian human rights, not in support of Hamas, in support of Palestinian human rights, and then deporting them, I think is just plain wrong. Whether we like their politics or not, they still have the same constitutional protections that the rest of us have.
Well, Guantanamo Bay made us an unwilling participant in torturing people without due process. And that's one of the things that you and many others have spoken out about. So then it makes me very uncomfortable to see this group of banditos, right? And you're wondering, okay, are all of them bad guys? Do we know that? And is there some kind of, like, will we be fooled again? I'm not saying that I stake my claim on Trendy Aragua's civil rights, but how do I know right. this? Is this going to happen again because it has happened before?
Oh, you're so right. The bottom line here is that none of these people have been convicted of a crime. They look like criminals. They're covered in gang tats, sure, but they've not been convicted of a crime. So deporting them is one thing. You heard Kristi Noem say, and I wonder if this was a slip of the tongue, We thank the government of El Salvador for taking our terrorists, she said. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever accused any of them of terrorism. And not just that they haven't been convicted of it, they haven't even been accused of terrorism, and she's calling them terrorists. So you make a very strong point here. They haven't been convicted of a crime. Either we should just call them deportees, or we should give them the benefit of facing their accusers in a court of law.
Yes. Yeah. I would like them to be brought to justice. Absolutely.
Someone in our chat room here on Rumble says, wait a minute. You guys are worried about illegals' rights? All of a sudden, we're worried about illegals' rights? Please.
No, I'm worried about the stories that we heard out of Guantanamo Bay, where there were people who were just dads, fathers, stuck there, starved, put in containment for hours on end.
Years under Dick Cheney's Roundup, and had never done anything,
and we were told they were terrorists. We were sold this before on this show. We don't buy stuff just because the government says so. I'm sorry, I didn't ask you a question, but...
This is where I differ so greatly with Dick Cheney, and I think the two of you probably do as well. Dick Cheney once said, quite famously, that he would rather incarcerate 100 innocent people than to let one guilty one go free, and I'm exactly the opposite.
Yeah. Okay, let me think of that ratio, then let one guilty.
So let's talk about...
Yeah.
I mean, I think what's happening, and I don't know if this is being blown out of proportion or not, but I am very troubled by the idea of people, because they have a certain viewpoint about a certain country that you can't speak about, that you're being rounded up and you're being thrown into some sort of non-due process facility just because of your political thought. Like, this is exactly what the Trump administration fought against. This is what the candidate Trump fought against. And I just don't understand what's happening. And it's deeply troubling to a lot of us on the conservative side who are watching this happen.
Oh, yes, exactly right. You know, I'm worried. I actually think about this now. Are my thoughts, are my own positions mainstream enough that I'm not going to be harassed? Thank goodness I'm not here on a green card. Or thank goodness I'm not a PhD student or a master's student here on an education visa. Because if I take a position and I publish that position, or I speak publicly about it, and it's not in the mainstream that's supported by, you know, senior officials in the government or the Justice Department, the Department of Homeland Security, am I going to be snatched off the street like this Turkish woman was because of her thoughts? Her crime is in her brain. It's her thoughts are not pro-Israel. And that warrants deportation. That's not the American way.
Phil Rondo in our chat says they were not rounded up because of political thought. They were being paid. So now that's a good question, right? If you're like a paid agitator that's causing problems, well, where's the gray line here, right? If you're being paid to carry out some sort of violence and attack people, or to set fire to Tesla factory or whatever it is, right? Then that's a whole other ball game. But
that's different. That's a crime.
Yeah,
she wasn't.
Then the government should make that case.
The government should make that case. You're exactly right. There's no evidence that this woman was paid to write an op-ed in support of Palestinian human rights. And even if she was paid, I get paid to write op-eds in support of one thing or another twice a week. Does that mean that I should be deported because somebody out there in YouTube land doesn't like my political positions? That's not the American way. That's not what the Constitution of the United States has promised us for the last 250 years.
So it's not cut and dry, right? Because the argument is, well, you're a citizen, John. So clearly you're protected under the Constitution.
But the Supreme Court has said that anybody in the United States, legally, of course, as has been decided subsequently, anybody in the United States has the same protections as an American citizen.
Yeah. So what I'm worried about is the juxtaposition of these stories is, on the one hand, we have this obvious, you know, propaganda standing in front of these shirtless dudes.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me whether or not they're normally shirtless, like, until you just said that. But why did they all take their shirts off because she asked to show their tattoos? And then on the other hand, look at this, but not that. And so are we being invited to celebrate something in order to distract us from something else? And that feels fairly obvious to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's the case. There seems to be some real worry on the part of the administration as to what is happening on university campuses. And I think that's dangerous. If you want to withhold education grants. That's one thing. That's a political debate that we can have at any time. But if you're trying to squelch thought or diversity of thought because you don't think you're going to agree with the other person's position on an international issue, that is just plain wrong. And, you know, why as Americans should we worry about whether or not the Israeli government has its feelings hurt?
Yeah.
Right. I'm so sick of why we need to walk on eggshells for another country. We wouldn't do it for any other country. And I'm just so sick of it. I mean, if you have an America first policy, why are we walking on eggshells for other countries? I don't care if it's China under the Biden administration and their love of China. I don't care if it's Israel. I want America first. And I'm sick and tired of this, like dancing around it.
Agreed.
Well, John, thank you so much for this. I mean, a lot of people angry on both sides of this debate, you know, as you clearly, we clearly see here. I guess we'll kind of watch how this unfolds.
The thing, I just want to say this one other thing. I understand the people in the chat who are like, these are bad dudes. Why do we care about their civil rights? I get that, right? But we are trying so hard not to swallow war propaganda. We are trying so hard to learn from the mistakes of our past. The reason we're putting your face here on this show right now is because we learned the lesson from Guantanamo Bay. And so can you just reiterate one more time the reason you were targeted by the government and the message that you, the whistle blew?
Yes, I was targeted by the Obama administration, one of eight whistleblowers in national security targeted by the Obama administration. I said that the CIA was torturing its prisoners, which was illegal. I said that torture was official U.S. government policy. And I said that the policy had been personally approved by the president. Now, the president at the time was George W. Bush, and he didn't prosecute me. Barack Obama prosecuted me. So listen, I think it's the duty of every American to keep the honest people honest. And when you see evidence of waste, fraud, abuse, illegality, or threats to the public health or public safety, by God, you have to call it out.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for that.
A lot of great comments in the chat. I appreciate all the feedback. I mean, this is why we do a show live, because it's great to be able to see what everyone thinks, you know, and people saying this is not war propaganda. Puke 12. Says this is not war propaganda. This is people who've been here illegally and have hurt our citizens. You want to take that one, John?
You know, maybe some of them have. But again, we're Americans. And what we do as Americans is we charge people with a crime. We give them the opportunity to confront their accusers in a court of law and to be judged by a jury of their peers. And I'm unaware of any of these people having been accused of a crime other than the crime of entering the United States illegally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a lot to go through on this. I appreciate it, John. Great to see you here today. Thank you so much, as always.
Great to see you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing, you know, they cross the border, they're committing a crime, right? They come across the border.
Yeah.
Right. That's a crime. So then they're being deported and rounded up and taken out. It's another thing when you have like a university student with a green card. What evidence? Someone said in the chat, well, there's clearly evidence they wouldn't have rounded this person up. Well, what evidence?
Yeah, they should have to prove it.
And I'd love to see
if
what
they
that
don't
is.
Have to prove it, then you want to live in a society where the government doesn't ever have to prove its case against you.
Yeah.
That's Orwellian. Again, read 1984. And the idea that, you know, all of these people did bad gang crimes, drug crimes, what have you, that we saw in that video, that might be so. They should face a court of law. They should have the book thrown at them, right? Oh, and the problem that I do want to acknowledge, though, is that a lot of these governments are antagonistic to the United States. So if we send them back to Venezuela, we know that Venezuela is not going to prosecute them, and then they may just end up right back here. I get that this is a problem, right? And that there's a problem that needs to be solved here. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but we need to ask the questions, again, so that we're not complicit in another Guantanamo Bay-type situation. So I appreciate your comments very much.
Very much. All right. We're going to talk about the Ark of the Covenant next. Jason Shurka just joined us, and we're going to take him next and talk about all of this kind of crazy CIA document news about the Ark of the Covenant. We're also going to talk about fentanyl being Trump's top threat to national security coming up. We're going to do all of that. But first, Look, a big thanks to Moomoo for sponsoring our channel, a trading app available for users in the United States, Canada, and Australia. Let's talk about investing, because in today's market, if you're not staying ahead, you're already falling behind. With the recent election shaping policies, the rise of sectors like crypto and AI, ETFs, you need the right tools. That's where Moomoo comes in, your partner for smarter insights, faster moves to stay ahead of the market. If you want to know where the big guys are investing, Moomoo's institutional tracker lets you see exactly where top institutions like Berkshire Hathaway are investing. You know what they need to build into this? Like a Nancy Pelosi tracker. Wouldn't that be great to see that? You can gain insights into the portfolios of market movers and use information to ride the same waves as the pros. It's like having an insider's guide to the market right at your fingertips. So new users right now, sign up using our link, redacted.inc/moomoo, and you can get up to 30 free stocks along with an 8.1% limited APY on your idle cash for 3 months. I had a savings account the other day just notify me that it was dropping the APY down to 3.5% right now because interest rates have been dropping. Now you can get this for 8.1%. That's great for 3 months, which is particularly valuable during this period of interest rate cuts. So, and Canadian users who deposit $2,000 and maintain a minimum eligible account value with 90 days get a stock cash coupon of $200 Canadian. And Australian users get up to 10 free stocks when you're a new user deposit. $2,000 Australian and meets the holding requirements. Terms and conditions apply. Don't miss out on these great opportunities. Go to redacted.inc/moomoo today and download the application. All right. Shall we talk Ark of the Covenant? Because I've been waiting to talk about this all day. New CIA documents just resurfaced from 1988 that claims the Ark of the Covenant is real and we have a location for it. Sounds like something out of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. But it's true, and the CIA, according to these reports, says the Ark was confirmed to exist through remote viewing, describing a gold-covered chest guarded by powerful beings in an underground Middle Eastern chamber. Joining us now to unpack this explosive story is Jason Shurka, author of The Pyramid Code. Welcome back, Jason. Two crazy big stories that I'm in love with. We talked about the Egyptian pyramids this week, earlier in the week with you, and now we've got the Ark of the Covenant. It seems crazy. First of all, what do you think this revelation means, this CIA document? And maybe I'll ask you, do you think they're also maybe releasing this information now to distract us from something else?
I'm very glad you brought that up because it was a point that I was going to share, and I'm sure people have different perspectives on it, but let's cover what this thing is first, and then we can go over, again, just the factual essence of what's going on here, what do we know, what are we being told, what could be false, and two times in a week, how does this connect to exactly what was written in the Pyramid Code? So we know that in the Pyramid Code document, it already spoke exactly about what was underneath the pyramids. Well, it spoke about the Ark of the Covenant as well, with its exact location, where you can find it, and what it entails. So what the CIA actually declassified in those documents, once again, is not new information. It's just a big organization and agency coming out saying, hey, look, this is what we did. And by the way, we did it like 40 years ago in 1988. So this project is called Project Sunstreak, like streaking the sun. And it's using something called psychoenergetic. So you called something called remote viewing. Remote viewing is essentially this thing that is weird to most people, but it's very real. I've worked with remote viewers before. A lot of agencies work with remote viewers to find things that they can't find through traditional mechanisms, like missing bodies. I work with somebody named Patricia Mona. She found 30 missing bodies for the RCMP in Canada when they couldn't find it themselves. And it's all done through this really weird mechanism, but it works because these very big agencies actually use them.
The CIA has been using remote viewing for years.
For a long time. This is not wacky stuff.
Yeah.
It's not wacky stuff, but it sounds wacky because we just don't understand. What do you mean projecting consciousness out to a specific coordinate of longitude and latitude and being able to understand exactly what's there? So they did this in 1988, and I want to read something real quick from their actual declassified documents from December 5th, 1988, it was a session by, they don't give us the name, but it's called Remote Viewer Number 32, which means they used over 30 people in this experiment to do it. This specific session lasted 90 minutes from 9:15 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. on December 5th, 1988. And it says the following. Target is a container. The target is what they're looking for on the longitude and latitude lines. This container has another container inside of it. The target is fashioned of wood, gold, and silver. The target is similar in shape to a coffin and is decorated with seraphim, which are like these gold-looking statues. This target is located somewhere in the Middle East, as the language spoken by individuals present seemed to be Arabic. Visuals of surrounding buildings indicated the presence of mosque domes. And I'm going to tell you right now that I know people are talking about, is it in Ethiopia? Because there's a lot of, you know, Arabic-speaking people over there. No, it's under the Dome of the Rock. And I'll tell you how we know that in a second. But it continues on by saying the target is hidden, underground, dark and wet were all aspects of the location of the target. The purpose of the target is to bring the people together, meaning a religious object. It has something to do with ceremony, memory, homage, the resurrection. There is an aspect of spirituality, information, lessons, and historical knowledge far beyond what we know. And then it goes on by explaining something which I can elaborate on further of what this means. The target is protected by entities and energies. Yes. And can only be opened by those who are authorized to do so. This container will not slash cannot be opened until the time is deemed correct. Once it is time to open the container, the mechanics of the lock system will be found to be fairly simple. Individuals opening the container by prying or striking are destroyed, meaning they die, by the container's protectors, meaning its energies, through the use of a power unknown to us. Now, it sounds weird, but that's coming from the CIA. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is like the sword and the stone.
Someone in the chat
only
says,
the right people can pull it out and the wrong people will be punished. And again, I get the vision of Atreyu going through those. Remember? Hmm. Never ending
story.
Never ending story.
Yes. Yeah. When he goes through the Sphinx, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's like only those authorized. This is amazing. Sorry, I got excited.
So,
Indiana Jones in real life. That's what's going on here.
I know someone in the chat said, man, Redacted, you guys became the woke History Channel. I don't know about that, but I'll take the History Channel piece of it. I'm thrilled about that. I mean, again, these are CIA documents, right? And so using these remote viewers and the documents before this, I mean, this has been around for a long, long time for people laying claim to what actually this arc means and does and holds. But I'm curious about these beings that are sort of guarding this thing. Do we have any more information about what these beings might be that are guarding this thing? What kind of energies?
Yeah, so I think that word is not the proper word to use. You're talking about something that is a very highly spiritual object and artifact. I call it a form of technology. And when you deal in that world, think about it scientifically as frequencies. There are certain frequencies that some people can touch and some people cannot, because if you don't have the proper vehicle to do it, it will literally electrocute you and kill you. For example, there are some people like monks who can walk on fire and not get burned, but me and you may walk on fire and we're going to get burned. That's what we're talking about with certain energies embedded into this thing. Remember, we're talking 3,000-4,000 years ago. This is around the same time of the pyramids as well. We're talking about a civilization, a society, a people that did things in a way that we do not understand today because it's forgotten knowledge. But what's interesting over here, when it comes to understanding its location as well, which is important, is, yeah, there are some people saying, you know, it might be in Ethiopia. We don't really know. Well, the CIA documents are talking about it underneath some sort of dome, some big mosque in the Middle East. And then here's where the diversion, the distraction comes in. They say it might be here, it might be there, we don't really know. So I'm going to read something from a Daily Mail article that came out just the other day about this topic. And then I want to show you what the Pyramid Code has to say about this, because once again, just like it was on the money with what was underneath the pyramids, it did it once again in a few days. So it's speaking about, according to legend, Queen of Sheba and Israel's King Solomon, so this is history, gave birth to Menelik in her country of origin, but he later traveled to Jerusalem to study with his father. While there, he supposedly stole the ark and brought it back to Aksum in Ethiopia. Locals say it has resided in the church of Our Lady Mary of Zion ever since. But then The British scholar of Semitic languages and Ethiopian studies, Edward Ullendorf, claimed that he saw the Ark inside the church during World War II. But a source close to Ullendorf later revealed that the artifact he saw was nothing more than a replica. What he saw was what you find in any Ethiopian church. It's a model of the Ark of the Covenant because they have replicas all over the place. They have decoys all over the place because you're talking about something of extremely high, not just historical significance, but spiritual significance as well. So in the Pyramid Code, a few days ago, we spoke about what was underneath the pyramids, and we cited certain things from that document that came out 5 years ago. Listen to what it says over here. King Solomon, King David's son, manifested the idea of the first holy temple, but it came at a heavy price to the people of the nation. The first holy temple was composed of three main parts. The main hall, the second part of the temple was the main temple, which contained certain objects, and the third part of the temple was known as the Holy of Holies, in which the Ark of the Covenant was. However, over time, and now I'm going to the bottom, it specifically says the place itself, which is known as the foundation stone in the Dome of the Rock. So the Dome of the Rock, if you read over there, the Holy of Holies, also known as the Dvir in Hebrew, sat on what we know today as the foundation stone. In Hebrew, it's called Evan Hashtiyah, within the Dome of the Rock as we know it today. The foundation was used as a stand for the Dvir. The foundation stone had and still has very strong powers, and its geographical location is the energy center of our planet, as well as the energy center of everything as a whole. But here's where it gets interesting. If you go down, it says, in a straight line, deep underground, exactly what the remote viewer said, are the contents of the Holy of Holies, which are concealed there until this very day. The room in which these items are hidden, like the rest of the temple, was designed by King Solomon. And further conversations, if you want to call them, about the Pyramid Code, which is the series on Unified TV, further explain exactly where it is, roughly 180 feet below the base of the foundation stone, which is what the Dome of the Rock is actually built around on right now. It's called the Dome of the Rock because it's a massive dome over the foundation stone.
Now, something that Candace Owens has been reporting on quite a bit lately is that a lot of the destruction of the Middle East right now by globalist powers, what she thinks is to purposely destroy Christian artifacts in this area. So this feels like a link to me. What do you think of it? I know you're not a war expert, but what are your thoughts on where the war is currently targeted?
Yeah, but we could use logic to understand certain things. And what we know is, again, factually, like the center of war in the world is there in the Middle East.
It's yes.
This aspect of everything around Israel, everybody's fighting over it. And the three main monotheistic religions, which is Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, all look at that place as this is our place. We got to ask ourselves, why did they go? If you go according to history, before it became a mosque, it was the Holy Temple. Why did they choose to build it there around the foundation stone specifically? What did they know that we don't know today? And the answer is a whole lot. And over time, we'll figure that out. But what I believe is the answer to your question is there's a lot of war around there because there's a lot of power given to the very individuals who control that. And that's what they're really fighting over. This isn't about Jews versus Muslims. It's not a religious war within people. That's how we're used to fight each other in this game of divide and conquer. But what's really going on is, in my opinion, there are powers that be that we do understand control the world when it comes to energy sectors, oil, gas, water, and so on and so forth. Those same people want to make sure, just like a lot of other things are not found out by the masses, that this is not found out either. And that's why I think they're moving people towards saying, well, it's in Ethiopia. Look over there. Don't look over here. But everything shows us that we're here. And if we look at what happened in January of 2011, this is a very famous video, and this is weird, but it's on camera from multiple angles. There was this big orb of light that today they call UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon. They used to call them UFOs. Nobody knows what it was, but this video was very, very highly spoken about in January of 2011 when it happened, right over the top of the Dome of the Rock, hovering there for a while, staying there, and then boom, it just shoots up at a speed that we cannot comprehend in modern day physics. So my question is, why over there? What's so special about the Dome of the Rock? And if we look at history, we understand the power of the foundation stone. We understand the power of that geographical location, and everything shows us that it's there. Why are they telling us it's somewhere else to divert our attention? That's my opinion.
Someone in our chat room says, people forget, news and prep says, people forget there were two arcs according to the Book of Joshua. And StratComGru says, hey, this guy claims... This guy, Jason, claims the Ark is located under the rock of the dome. There's been high energetic emissions coming out from under the ice in Antarctica for 3+ years that they cannot explain. Maybe it's there as well, or maybe, who knows? I don't know. Antarctica is very fascinating to me.
Antarctica was a base that was known to be a base for the Nazis in the 30s. And over time, that base was then taken over from the Germans to the Americans. If you look at what's going on in Antarctica, why did the Nazis have a base over there? Well, they could have had a base anywhere. It's very, very hard to get to. So you can do a lot of things that you don't want anybody figuring out. Just like they did it 100 years ago, they're still doing things there today. What they're doing, I don't know. But if you look at the Sean Ryan show, he's brought on whistleblowers that worked in Antarctica explaining certain technologies that they're actually experimenting with today that have very, very high energy emissions. So it could be that. I don't think it's that. I think that they're using that as a base like they were 100 years ago with other forms of technologies today. And it's very convenient because nobody can get there.
Jason, we'll get you out of here on this. Someone in the chat room just said, hey, Patricia says, you guys are talking about demonic forces. You better stop. Do you think that what's inside, related to the Ark, is some sort of a demonic force? Is there any evidence in any of these CIA documents that that's what the case is?
No, I think people call what they don't understand demonic. I think that we call it that if we choose to not understand what's going on. You can also use very good things in very bad ways. Just like you can use a knife to kill somebody, you can use a knife to make a salad. Doesn't mean the knife is bad. It means the consciousness and the intentions of the operator is bad. And there's a very big distinction between the two. So I would say for anybody that wants to learn more, read those CIA documents. Read the Pyramid Code because it explains this in depth. And watch the Pyramid Code on Unify TV. It's really powerful stuff.
Jason Shurka, host of the Pyramid Code. Great to have you here twice this week for two incredible stories. We appreciate it.
I really appreciate your input on this. It's just fun. Yeah.
Thank you. It's good topics to cover.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. Great to see you.
You too.
Wow. I know, I'm blown away by this. Someone in the chat says, redacted is fun. Well, I mean, hey, you know, they can't all, we cover a lot of war and really heavy topics here when there's a story that, you know, where you have leaked CIA documents that had been hidden for years about the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to cover that freaking story on this show.
And I love those of you in the chat who are like, yes, the government's poisoning us with fluoride. We know this now. The government has been testing fluoride on us when they tested their nuclear bomb on us, mostly in and around Pennsylvania. That happened. Yes, the government did the test experiment, MK Ultra, all of that's true, but the government's using remote viewing and finding things. Nope, I'm out.
That's too much. That's crazy.
That's where my line is. Like, how? Why do you decide that? You know,
it's funny to me because like they understand like what they did with COVID. Yeah. They understand like you know, USS Liberty. They understand the lies around JFK and the assassination of JFK.
Right.
Gulf of Tonkin. Chemtrails are like, yep, 100%.
Yeah.
But remote viewing?
Pyramids can't have it. It's just impossible. You know, I think that the longer you stick with us and the longer you open your mind to all sorts of research, your line is just not there anymore. You either say, I don't get that. Maybe I'll study it later. You don't ever say absolutely not because I just don't think it, you know, because it doesn't feel plausible to me. You're just like, I don't know about that. I'll look later. But you never say, like, this is it. This is a bridge too far. There's no bridges too far almost anymore, wouldn't you say?
I would say that. And I think, you know, my friend, our friend of the show, Tucker Carlson, his father just passed away the other day, Dick Carlson. And I was going to talk about it yesterday here on the show. We just really kind of ran really, really heavy. But in his obituary that Tucker wrote about his father, he said that my father had seen it all, and he was unflappable. He was not, what were the words? He was
Something like that.
He was not surprised by anything. Like, you couldn't offend him, and he was not surprised by anything as a journalist. He'd been around the world, and he'd seen it all. And if you came to him with something, he would just sort of nod.
Yeah.
And he understood. And, you know, that's, I guess, being a literate, well-read, well-researched, experienced person.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I don't claim to know much about, you know, what's under the pyramids, but I'm willing to listen to pretty much everything. So yeah. I think that that's what we have in common with most of our viewers. But I love the occasional comments like, too far, can't handle right. it. There are some things that I feel that way about. I'm with you, right? But I'll just step back on those.
Yeah. So,
anyhow. All right, we have more news to get to. That was a fun segment. The next one will not be. We're going to talk about fentanyl in the United States and the United States participation with the drug cartels, what it could be, what warning for all of us as families. Before we do that, though, we want to tell you about our show sponsor. This is a new sponsor to Redacted called Fatty 15. Now, what this is a scientific breakthrough to support long-term health and wellness. C15 is the first essential fatty acid to be discovered in 90 years. And get this, studies have confirmed that it's 3 times better, broader, and safer than omega-3. Now, the Fatty 15 co-founder, Stephanie Van Watson, discovered C15 as the first essential fatty acid to be found in over 90 years while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve health and welfare of aging dolphins. Now, what it is an essential nutrient that keeps your cells healthy. And, you know, without getting too sciencey about it, studies show that C15 works by strengthening your cells, improving mitochondrial function, and protecting against damage-free radicals. The result is better long-term metabolic liver, heart, and health in general. And again, it's something that really you should look into for yourself because this is a new type of form of supplement to your health. So Fatty 15 is on a mission to replenish your C15 levels and restore your long-term health. And you can get 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/redacted. Check it out. See what you can learn about it and if this works for you. Again, use the code redacted at checkout and get 15% off a 90-day subscription starter kit. One more time, you go to fatty15, that's the number, fatty15.com/redacted.
Well, during testimony this week, Trump administration officials said fentanyl is America's top national security threat, not Iran, not Houthi rebels hiding in apartment complexes, but fentanyl brought across the United States border through Mexican drug cartels, of course, facilitated out of China. And here's what Tulsi Gabbard had to say about it. Cartels were largely responsible for the deaths of more than 54,000 U.S. citizens from synthetic opioids during the 12-month period that ended in October of 2024, just before the election. And so how can we stop this? And those numbers might even seem kind of low if you actually include all of those fentanyl-related overdoses in this. So how can this be stopped? Well, J.C. Shepard has really dedicated his life to trying to stop this. He's the founder of the fentanyl test, which is really one of the only over-the-counter tests that you can give your children to actually see if they're involved in this horrible drug or not. And J.C. joins us now. Welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Clayton. I really appreciate it.
First, your response to seeing Tulsi Gabbard, the Director of National Intelligence, during this hearing this week, say that fentanyl is America's number one threat. Did you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's music to our ears, first and foremost, because our goal with the fentanyl test is to pretty much go out of business. We want this drug gone. You know, this is basically just to save Americans. And, you know, I love how you said that number might seem low in terms of the 54,000, because I think one of the only individuals on earth that's saying it correctly is Donald Trump, because I think most people have been in an inner city environment to where you see how this has decimated the homeless. I mean, those people are never being autopsied. So you can add at least 150,000 to that number.
Wow. Oh, I have never heard that. That makes perfect sense. And I just got chills thinking about that. I haven't heard anyone talking about that. So these homeless, no one's footing the bill for these autopsies and they're just dying on the streets. I mean, you see the videos driving down Kensington Avenue in Philadelphia, right, and it looks horrible. I mean, my home city, you know, just seeing it looks like zombies. It looks like something out of a horror film. These people just dying on the streets of fentanyl overdoses.
Yes, I've talked to some Philadelphia executives. By the way, we're headquartered in Pittsburgh, PA, so we're from the same state. But, you know, it's unbelievable that, you know, the way that we approached this was, hey, we're trying to save lives. And they know that. I mean, not Philadelphia whether you're liberal or you're liberal or conservative, they're not saying that they want people to die from this. So we think we should probably state that, but they basically said, we can do nothing for Kensington. We can do nothing to help because these people want that drug. They seek it out. It's one of the only places on earth, maybe Philadelphia, Kensington, of course, some parts of San Francisco, some parts of Los Angeles and Baltimore. That is really the only people on earth that are actually genuinely overdosing because they're seeking out that drug. Everybody else, and you'll always see in the mainstream media that it's always an overdose. That's not the case. About 87% of people that are dying from fentanyl are poisonings because they don't know it is in the substance they are using. So it's very rare for individuals to actually, and in Kensington is just, that's a whole different ballgame, Clayton, as you know. I mean, it's a drug called Trank, which is fentanyl and xylazine mixed together. And it's undeniably deadly. It also rots your skin, your appearance. It's necrosis for your skin. So, but when the Philadelphia government stated that you can't help, there's nothing you can do because they will still find their drug. They will not test anything. They want that drug. So it's insanely depressing.
So you said a couple of things there that I've never heard of before. So I think this is important for our audience to learn. So that is a unique situation, what we're seeing in Philadelphia. And I'm sure that makes all the videos that goes viral, of course, right? The zombies looking in Philadelphia. Sure. You said something else, that it's not really about the overdoses. It's about the poisoning. So if you've got a family watching this right now and they've got young children, like, what do they need to be paying attention to in terms of fentanyl poisoning?
Well, fentanyl poisoning, I'll just talk about it from a test basis, if that's okay.
Sure.
We designed our tests for law enforcement. So they could test something, you know, on the side of the road. They can test, any substances when they pull somebody over, right there on the spot without throwing that substance in water. So we wanted to design a test that was non-dilution based that can test any surface or substance, including liquids, to make sure that that individual who's about to use a substance, or, you know, a police officer that's about to be contaminated with something like this, they don't have to throw that substance in water or dilute it or destroy it in any way, shape, or form. So what you're seeing first and foremost in the media, we're losing 22 children a week. And when I say children, we're talking about children under 14 years of age. Those children are not overdosing. Most of the time, it's the first time they're trying a pill, or, you know, potentially trying a different substance. Even smoking marijuana and vape liquid now isn't safe. So that's what we wanted to do first and foremost, is come up with a test to where if a parent finds a substance, or a law enforcement officer or a drug user themselves wants to test something because they don't want to die, now they have that ability to do that without destroying that substance fully. We also have the over-the-counter test for individuals, parents, loved ones that want to test their children at home. If something is not right, you know, symptoms wise, you can look at pinprick pupils, obviously, slurred words, trouble breathing, even if you're getting close to actually, you know, being poisoned. But, you know, this is something it's so prevalent in children now because, one, health teachers aren't teaching anything. They're teaching about 714 genders rather than staying away from substances that can hurt you and kill you. And, you know, realistically, it's something that needs to be taught on that level, and parents need to actually be aware of it. And it's not happening right now. I mean, we've seen some school curriculum that they're not testing drugs anymore. Clayton, I'm in my 40s, and I'm sure you remember a story about Len Bias. That's what we were taught as a child, to stay, you know, this person was on top of the world. They tried a substance and they didn't live. They need to bring that back, and you need to push that in schools, and parents need to bring that story up. And there's multiple stories now, unfortunately, that are just as bad. I mean, you have children dying every single day because of this. So it's something that awareness.
22 children a week who are 14 years and under is absolutely shocking and devastating. And, you know, we're in Colorado, and where they've got a, you know, big vaping problem. You hear about all these, you know, all these kids that are vaping. So what you're saying now is that this fentanyl is in pills, it's in vapes, it's all over the place, and these kids may be ingesting it and not even aware that they're ingesting it?
Oh, absolutely. Derek Maltz was on our last fentanyl roundtable, and he taught us a lot within his 90 minutes of being on there. And when he was still at the DEA, they were finding pill presses that would make 30,000 pills an hour. Okay. And per him, 7 out of 10 illegal pills, this is Adderall, this is Vicodin, this is oxycodone, Xanax, anything kids are thinking they're buying, 70% of them have enough fentanyl to kill that person, at least one person. Everything now is being laced with fentanyl. So it's absolutely insanely dangerous for anybody to even take a substance. I mean, I remember I'm in DC a lot, and I'm in Pittsburgh, so it's not that far of a drive. It's about 3 hours. And driving down there last time, I had the worst headache I ever had. So we stopped over and got some food, but we were in an area where there wasn't a drugstore. So I asked the Subway people, we went to Subway, and I specifically said, hey, do you guys have, there's a place I can get, Tylenol or something around here just for a headache. And of course they offered me Tylenol, and knowing what I know, I said, no, I'm not going to touch that, because that's what can happen. It is that simple, that these pills and these, you know, substances that are on the street, 70%+ of them are going to contain something. And I'm going to state something that, I know people have seen graphics to where if you cover the date of a penny with fentanyl powder, pure fentanyl powder, that's 2 milligrams. That's enough to kill pretty much every single person that has a normal body mass index, BMI. But when you have poly substances, when it's, mixed with cocaine, heroin, whatever possible, conjunction with fentanyl, literally 3 nanograms can take your life, which is basically 3 grains of fentanyl. So it's so dangerous, and it's so, toxic to the system that that's why we created our tests.
So just to be clear, your tests, and I know you say your tests, if you go to thefentanyltest.com, if that's the correct URL, way cheaper than going to like a drugstore. And you've got 2 different tests. So one that where you're actually testing the urine of the person to see if they've ingested it, and another test to see if like the Tylenol has fentanyl in it, correct? I just want to be clear on that.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. The harm reduction was designed specifically for harm reduction is the test strips that test surfaces and substances, but those were designed basically again for law enforcement, but they can be used in the harm reduction community. Every test out there right now, before ours, Clayton, required that drug user who just bought that substance to dump their substance in water. Now, I think common sense shows that people who just spend money on something or they're sick in withdrawal, they're not going to destroy their substance before they use it. So that's why we created something that they can actually test without altering that substance. And also for law enforcement, when they destroy the substance to test for what it is, they lose the ability to prosecute on the weight that they threw in that water. So we designed that in that realm. And then the probation officers and parole officers right now, they're still not testing for fentanyl. And that's because before our test, you had to send these off to labs, which are $350 to $700, to the taxpayers. And you can get ours now for under $10 if you're government, and you can now start testing your wards in prisons. I mean, prison deaths are up 800% due to fentanyl being, brought into the prison system. And one thing you did say, Clayton, did you know fentanyl is legal to carry in Colorado? Were you aware of that?
No.
It's the only state.
What?
You can carry multiple lethal doses on your person in Colorado. It's the only state in our great union that, you actually can do that. So it's almost like Canada. Canada also, it's legal to carry. So, but yeah, you can carry, I believe it's up to two milligrams of fentanyl. And that is enough if it's mixed with other substances that can kill up to 10 people.
It's devastating. I mean, how is this getting to our children? Can you just real quickly kind of walk me through how it's coming across the border through these cartels? And then I also know that there's really a demand for it as well, right? So we've got to stop the demand for it as well as cut off the flow of it.
Yeah, I mean, once you touch fentanyl, if you have a highly addictive personality, which it seems like most individuals do nowadays, you are going to be hooked on that. You're going to go back to that dealer and say, hey, can I get another one? Can I get another one of this? Or more of whatever substance you're doing. But as far as the way things are coming across right now, first and foremost, there are no more creative people than cartel drug dealers and addicts that actually want to get the substance in their body. So they will find a way. But traditionally, this has been coming over either the chemicals to make it in Mexico to bring across the border, or they bring the chemicals and press the pills here. But the cartel doesn't care about killing people. I know that's a question a lot of people have, is why would a dealer want to kill their, you know, their customer? You want them to come back to you. Cartels don't care. And China wants to, you know, supersede everything we're doing here in the U.S. They want our farmland. They want pretty much everything that we have. So it's legitimately a war upon us. But you'll see, that's the reason why they're disguising this as Skittles and, you know, Smarties and candy to come across the border, because they don't care if it gets to kids. I was so concerned last Halloween, because I know, I think a lot of people, especially in the cartels in China, really knew that Trump was going to win. So they ramped up their production to get that across the border until he could start doing something until January 20th. So it's unbelievable, Clayton, and this is probably going to scare people, but I think people really need to be scared. There is enough fentanyl here, and this comes from Derek Maltz. It comes from, you know, multiple DEA agents and border security. There's enough fentanyl to kill each and every one of us Americans 20 times over here right now.
I mean, I hope this is a wake-up call for people. You know, maybe it's not as sexy as saying that Iran is about to bomb us, which they're not. But this is, it's a clear and present danger. It's here in the United States. It's already here, and it's killing tens of thousands of Americans already. Like, how much more of a wake-up call do we need? So I hope that this is a wake-up call. And parents out there who want to take advantage of getting these tests so they have them in their home, or people who have struggled with addiction who, you know, are trying to get off of that and want to make sure that they're not also poisoning themselves as they're trying to remove themselves from this painful life, go over to thefentanyltest.com. Like I said, we're not affiliated in any way. I just want to promote it as much as I can so people can take advantage of this and try to stop this. JC, we appreciate what you've been doing. And thank you for educating us all about this. I learned a lot today. I'm sure our audience did as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Clayton. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. I mean, I learned a lot. I mean, I did that, you know, in Colorado, it's legal? Like, what? I mean, that's absolute madness. Oh, fentanyl's legal in Colorado. The woke legislature in Colorado, it's, you know, it's now a blue state through and through.
Well, now I got weekend plans.
To go, yeah, to go down and protest.
Hopefully to eradicate. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully to eradicate it. I hope that's what you're saying.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, that's,
yeah,
what
we
got to
band together. We got to band together and get these Colorado politicians. How is it the one state in the nation, for crying out loud, that allows fentanyl? It's illegal. If you got stopped with fentanyl, you're fine. Just don't be smoking any of that pot. But if you got fentanyl, you're fine. That's legal. I guess everything is legal there. It's crazy. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us here on this Thursday. My thoughts and love go out to all of you for being a part of our show. It's a free show, so thank you guys for subscribing. You follow us on Rumble. Subscribe to us on Rumble. We're live Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We've got content going out through the weekend. By the way, we've got the big interview with Christine Anderson, member of the European Parliament. That's going to go out tomorrow here on the channel. So check that out as well. We talked a lot about war coming to Europe, why Europe is destroying itself right now, and so much more. So you want to check that out. And thanks to all of you for being a part of our show. We really appreciate it. We'll be back here live Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone.